fellow be 16.
Friday morning, Hilchus Chol Hamoed.
It's going to be special.
Oh, special.
What's the
shiur?
I'm a
Shrogi. Shrogi.
I was trying to tell my Shrogi dealer that it was Shrogi Shrias, so she should be Hefka. She says, no, the prices are the same as last year's, but they're Hefka.
I thought we'd speak about the topic of Shrogi Shrias a little bit. This year, it's a timely topic, so a little bit of a special Shrogi in the Yoma. We've got a Kudan Hachas Cholomar is also in the Yoma, but it's a special in the Yoma. The Gemara tells us in Masech HaSukkah that in order to perform the mitzvah of the Alminim, so the Alminim have to be lachem, they have to belong to you. One of the conditions to be considered to be lachem, not only does it have to belong to you in terms of dinei mamonos, in terms of monetary law, in terms of kosher mishpat, the Gemara says it has to be yesh b'hefker achila, it has to be something that one could potentially eat. That the esrog has to be ro'e l'achila halachically. If one cannot eat the esrog, if it's a halachic problem that's preventing you from eating the esrog, then one is not yet to the mitzvah of the alamidim. That's not called lachem, that's not called royal achila. So what could possibly be wrong with an esrog that can make it not royal achila? So the Gemara has different possibilities about this esrog shel arla, other possibilities that may run into a question of an esrog being royal achila. According to some, if you have an esrog shel tevel, so an esrog that you haven't separated humans and mises from, so it's unclear why exactly. That's also possible. According to some, that's also called an aroy lechila. So whatever it is, there are certain cases that clearly meet the requirements of an esrog shel aroy lechila, which would be disqualified. So there was a major machlekes poskim, which really, in a sense, was a machlekes that was shown in most probably, as to whether this sugya of esrog aroy lechila has any impact on esrogim which come from the Shemitah year. So the first glance, what could possibly be wrong with an esrog that comes from Shemitah? What do you think they used in Eretz Yisrael over the years? I think in Eretz Yisrael they went and bought other esrogim from other countries. No, of course they used the esrogim that grew in Eretz Yisrael. We know this for a fact. The Mishnah says in the Masechet Sukkah, the Mishnah has a whole discussion about how to purchase an esrog during the Shemitah year, even though the esrog has conditioned Shemitah to it, so there's nothing wrong with it. That in and of itself, the fact that it grew in Shemitah, that in and of itself is clearly not a reason to disqualify it. The reason being because Peyrus should be a mutter v'achila. It's perfectly permissible l'chatchila to eat fruit that grew during the Shemitah. Sometimes people have a misconception. They think that anything that grew during Shemitah is also far from the truth. That anything that grows during Shemitah is of course going to be mutter v'achila. Why are you allowed to eat it? There's a din midirabbanan. There's a din midirabbanan called svichin. That anything that's planted yearly, let's say grain or vegetables, things like that, which are normally planted every year, even if they grew by themselves during Shemitah, those are problematic. Those are prohibited midrabbanan. It's a gezeirah that you may come to plant them during Shemitah. But midraisa, that's not true. Midraisa, you could even eat your vegetables that grew by themselves. But fruit, which grows by itself, which you could plant, you plant the fruits you want to last for 50 years, so fruit was never included in the sisah derabbanan. It's not called svichin. So therefore we follow the din d'oraisa when it comes to fruit. Fruit is mutter l'chatchila shuvah chachila. You're allowed to eat fruit which has the kedusha shvius to it. Not only are you allowed to eat it, there are some who suggest that it may even be a mitzvah to eat it. The Ramban, and Sefer Mitzvahs has a cryptic comment that depending on who you ask, how to read the Ramban. So there are some who interpreted the Ramban to be the Zamash and mitzvah to eat Peyrus shvius. And the Chazon Ish claimed the Ramban never said it. That's not what the Ramban meant. There really is no mitzvah per se. Yeah, that's a detailed question. Is there a mitzvah? No mitzvah. But everyone agrees there's no issa. So there's no issa to eat Peyrus shvius. What could be wrong with an esrog shel Shemitah? Problem is, one of the halachot of Shemitah is that one is not permitted to guard one's fruit. One has to leave the fruit hefker. One has to, by Shemitah, you have to let everybody come and take it. If one wants to take it, he can take it. And what if a person violated this issur? He went in and he guarded his fruit. So does that affect the outcome of the fruit? Is there anything wrong now with eating? Yeah, I did an issur. Okay, I didn't have errors. Now I have fruit, I didn't have errors. I have an apple tree, and I locked up the apple tree. I locked up my orchard, and I didn't let anybody come in. So I was in the midst of Ashriya Tishbetan and Natashta. Does that have any impact, the fact, on the fruit? So this was a big machlekes. We showed him at the very end of Masechet Yevamos. So Rashi and Yevamos, very end of Kafal, if I'm not mistaken, Rashi writes that there's no impact whatsoever. So you did an Aveira. Every time you do an Aveira, it doesn't necessarily impact the consequences. So Rashi said you did an Aveira. Sure, the fruit is still going to be mutter to eat. So Rabbi Natan disagrees. He goes to the name of Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan interpreted a statement of the Teres Kohanim, which Rashi interpreted in a different way, but Rabbi Chaim interpreted his statement in Toskonim, which tells us that one is not permitted to eat fruit if the fruit was not washed if the fruit was washed improperly. That's what's called Menamashumar. Menamashumar is also, according to Rabbi Netam, if Shvita would be deraisa, Menamashumar would be prohibited mid-deraisa. According to Rabbi Netam, if you go ahead and somebody goes ahead and violates the Dinim Shmita, so then that fruit now becomes, in a sense, treif. It's not Mishmachos Asura, so it's the Nisim deraisa to eat such fruit. So Machlekes and Rishonim Rashi Rabbi Netam. So this Machlekes Rashi Rabbi Netam now began to play out in terms of Esrogi Shvias. If you have an Esther of Shvius that nobody watched, nobody guarded, nobody violated any Surim with, and then good, so then it's at the Gomitz Lachatchila Shubachatchila. But what if the Esther was violated the din of Meshuma? What if a person went ahead and he violated the din of Shmira, he wasn't Mafkir, his pair of Shvius properly? Does that have impact now, consequences on the fruit? And if it has consequences on the fruit vis-a-vis Machalos Asuros, that's going to impact on the Mitzvah Dalminim, because the starting point of Dalminim is that the Dalminim have to be Royally Achila. So this was a big tumult about Esrog Shvius. It started already about 50 plus years ago. So there was some Rabbanim who came out in the 1950s, if I'm not mistaken, with a psak that all the Esrogim that were coming from Eretz Yisrael at the time were relying upon the Heter Mechira. They were relying on those poskim who said that one doesn't have to observe Shemitah anymore. All you have to do is sell the land to the non-Jew and it becomes Peres Hakom, and then the Shemitah don't apply. So according to that understanding, so business as usual, they were mamash, they were guarding the esrogim, they were guarding the orchards, everything was mamash like a regular year. So there were a group of rabbanim who came out and said that all those esrogim are no good because we don't want to rely on the Heter Mechira, that was a lashon of the psak, we don't want to rely on this cool of the Heter Mechira. Many folks can disagree with it. There are folks who accepted it, but there are many folks who disagree with it, including the Chazon Ish and others who are strongly opposed to the Heter Mechira. So there are a group of Rabbanim who claim that, well, if you don't accept that, the Mechira, so it turns out that the people who are producing the Esrogim were violating the din of Shemira, they weren't being mafkid the Perishvias properly, therefore the Perishvias became Menamashumar, and according to Ben Atam, it's also the Achila, and therefore you can't be yet to the mitzvah of the Aladinim. It's not such a big jump, not such a far-fetched jump at all. If you basically have to deny, you basically have to hold two things. You have to deny that the Mechir and you have to accept Rabbeinu Tam. If you put those two things together, so then you come out with a psak that Lechor and the Esrogim are all not acceptable midaraisa. So this was the psak that was given by some Rabbanim. Basically, the leader of this psak was the Satmar Rebbe. The Rebbe, the Talmud, in the 1950s, came out with his psak offering the Esrogim Shvius because of this consideration. So Ramayish was presented with the Shaila as to how we should paskin. So Rav Moshe writes that he's not taking a stand on the Heter Mechira. He's saying that even if you assume you don't want to accept the Heter Mechira, he still thinks the Esrog HaShvius are okay. Why the Esrog HaShvius are okay? So Rav Moshe said that who said we pass like this Rav Menetam? Who said we pass like that Menemashumur is a problem? Maybe pass like Rashi. So Rav Moshe goes on to show you that he thinks the Avuah majority of the Rishonim do in fact follow Shittas Rashi, that there is no issue of Meshumur, there's no Gemara that asks Meshumur, it's a Torah's code, and the Torah's code doesn't really say it, you can interpret it a different way. He doesn't think that we have to be chayshish for Rabbeinu Tam, because Rabbeinu Tam was somewhat of a dasi yochid, and therefore Rav Rishonim hold that even if it was Meshumar. So again, he's not saying whether the Esrog deal did anything wrong or not. He's not passing on that mechira in this tshuva. He's just writing that even if those who don't want to rely on that mechira at all, he doesn't think they have any real concern with the Esrogim, since we don't really accept Rabbeinu Tam, therefore the Esrog is mutter b'achila, and therefore even though an aveir was done with it, it's still considered to be lachem. That was the psak of Rav Moshe. So this shaila basically boils down to, do you accept Rashi or accept Rabbeinu Tam? Do you hold Meshumar as a problem? It's not a problem. The Emet says, this is the Shaila which is going to do this regular. This is a Shemitah Shaila. This is a Shaila, still a burning issue at Ayamazet. This is a Shaila Lemaisa. A guy goes into a store and you want to buy fruit. And the argument would say, you don't want to rely on that at the Mechira. So you want to walk into a store and there, just roll and buy an apple. It's not Tzvichim, it's not vegetables, and grow myself. The Shaila is now, even though Shemitah is over, the Shaila is clearly still relevant. You have many, many fruit that is still. They're first getting onto the market now. You walk into a regular fruit store in Eretz Yisrael, well, a regular store in the Shuk, which is not necessarily not relying on that to Mechira. It's possible they are relying on that to Mechira, and a person doesn't want to rely on that to Mechira. So they walk into the store, they want to know, Rabbi, am I allowed to go and eat an apple? No, let me eat an orange. Is there anything wrong with it? So is that a problem of Meshumar or not? So according to Rabbeinu Tam, the answer is no. According to Rabbeinu Tam, you can't eat the apple. According to Rashi, the answer is yes, you could eat the apple. So how do we pass in the Halacha? So there are different minhagim in Eretz Yisrael about this. So So in Yerushalayim, the minig is to be machmer. In Yerushalayim, the minig is that Mishumer is a problem. And therefore, those who don't rely on that, the Mechira wouldn't eat fruit that that Isurim of Mishumer were violated on. And other places, they're not necessarily follow this this stuff.
Mishumer is just Mishumer, or to fertilize and to do
that's that. That's called Ne'avad. So Ne'avad is a second problem, that not only did a person guard it, but a person actually worked the trees also. So there are some who say that Ne'avad is for sure also, and there are others who say that even Ne'avad is mutter. Rashi is assuming that even Ne'avad is mutter. So there are different problems about this within Eretz Yisrael. It's strange to me that Rav Shlomo Zalman, in one of his shuvas, writes that he doesn't think that we have to be chayshish for Mishumah. He thinks that b'di'evet, like Rav Moshe writes, that Meikra din Rashi is correct, that we don't have to be chayshish for Mishumah. Which I found a little bit strange because Rav Shlomo Zalman was the Rav Yishalayim. Rav Shlomo Zalman was the Paisik of Yishalayim. So, and yet the minig in Yishalayim today is afal pichein that Mishumer is considered to be a problem.
You say the minig today was it different, say, in the 70s?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think this is an old minig in Yishalayim. That's what it sounds like. So I asked Moshe Weiss about this last year at his son's wedding. I asked him about this because I had Shemitah was on my mind. I just came back from Eretz Yisrael. So I don't know. He wasn't sure. He didn't know why. How he said. He told me that the minig in Yishalayim is to be machped on Mishumer. He verified what it says to me, what it says in the Svarim, and he said, I don't know, Rav Shlomo Zalman was matzah, you know, he threw his hands up, he wasn't sure what the story is. But Lamai said, Shlomo Zalman was matzah, Moshe was for sure matzah, there's no question, Moshe is true, Mefarish is matzah. He said, the Minigan Lower East Side is local, so I don't know if the Minigan Yerushalayim is, but the Minigan America is local. So anyway, at the end of the day, many felt that the Esrog HaShviyas were okay, and we're not that concerned with Mishum, we're not that concerned with Neva. It's funny because at the end of the Tshuva, Moshe writes, that particular year that the Shiloh was asked him, the Matzah HaShviyas, that's not much of the questionable Esrog will come on the market. So they asked, it happened to have been that Rosh Hashanah, and the first day of Sukkot, that year fell out on Shabbos. So Midaraisa, there's no Mitzvah, we're all together. So Moshe writes, in the end of the Tshuva, he writes that this year, for sure enough to be Machmer, so it's only a Deramon anyway, or the Sheini, yeah, it's all Deraisa anyway, so for sure enough to be Machmer, and then he writes, in the end of the Tshuva, but even if it would be Deraisa, it would still be Mekel. People shouldn't think that he's only Mekel that year. He says, no, I'm not Mekel, Mekel every year also, even if it would be a Deraisa. So this Shiloh was a burning issue, several years ago. It becomes significantly less of an issue this month. It's there for the following reason, that it appears that most of the Esrogim, could be even all the Esrogim, I can't say for certain, but a good proportion of the Esrogim that are sold in Eretz Yisrael, that are making their way to America, are not problems of Mishumah whatsoever for the following reason, that what's invoked this month is the concept what's called an Eitzah Beis Din. Eitzah Beis Din is a very, very old concept, it has its roots in the Tosefta. The problem is that it doesn't appear in the Mishnayot. That's why some people say we don't possibly like it. But we generally assume that we do accept this concept of an Eitzah Beis Din, and it appears in the Mishnayot, in the Tosefta. Eitzah Beis Din means as follows, that you have fruit that's growing during the Shnas HaShemitah, so it's supposed to be hefker. You have a guy who owns an orchard, he wants to keep the Din of Shemitah proper, doesn't want any Yetarim, he's going to keep the Din of Shemitah, Gedasach Adin. So the Mamash opens up his orchard, means you let Kolavoy over here, whoever wants to come. This guy's got an orchard somewhere down in Kfar Maimon, so it's miles away from civilization. So where are all the people from Bnei Brak going to go get their esrogim? One thing, they're going to schlep the Kfar Maimon and go get the esrogim. And second of all, if the guy's just going to leave the esrog, mamish total hefker, there are certain things that have to be done during the course of the year to watch over, not watch in the halachic sense, but to watch over the esrogim, or all fruit for that matter, to make sure that the fruit don't get ruined. And there are certain things you're allowed to do during Shemitah. Shemitah doesn't mean you're not allowed to do any work on the land. There are certain things, what's called the Oak Me'ilana, things which keep the tree alive. If you don't do certain things, so the tree's going to die. Or according to some, even if the tree's not going to die, but the fruiting is all going to get ruined. So whatever is not improving the quality of the land is not really a problem during Shemitah. So here it doesn't make sense. You're going to leave your esrog totally hefker. You're going to leave your apples, your orange, totally hefker. So first of all, how are the consumers ever going to get it? The guy's a guy in Tel Aviv wants to buy apples, so he's going to schlep and get in a bus and go to Kfar Maimon and carry back bags and apples. That's in theory what he should do, but it's not practical. And it's also not feasible because if nobody takes care of the land, so then the trees are going to get totally ruined. So comes at the Seft and says, we have the following Eitzah. The But to have individuals come and guard the land, that's not that cannot be done. But what you can do is the Beisdin can step to the plate. Beisdin, like first of all, Beisdin walks, Beisdin steps up to the plate, and Beisdin says, "Listen, these orchards are now under our jurisdiction. Anyone wants to come, they want to come to eat the fruit. That's we're not going to stop you." But Beisdin takes over. What does Beisdin do? Beisdin takes care of two things. Number one, they make sure that the land is worked appropriately and it's not worked inappropriately. They make sure that somebody tends to the trees and somebody makes sure that the Yisroel don't get killed, don't get ruined. And number two, they're also in charge of distribution when it comes before Sukkot or, again, for any Lavdak Yisroel, when it comes to apples, oranges, grapes, anything. So they're going to make sure that it gets distributed in a proper fashion, that it gets sent to Klal Yisroel, who are the real true owners of all the perishmias. So Beisdin has the hands full. That's quite a hefty bill. Who's going to pay the bill for this? Beisdin's got to work now. Beisdin's got to go send people to go make sure the trees are being taken care of properly, making sure that the fruit is distributed properly, make sure everything is done properly. Whoever wants to take can come and take. It's not minimum shuma. But you have to do it properly. You have to make sure that there are certain expenses. So who's going to cover the expense of the Beisdin? So that's where the Tosefta stops. The Tosefta never tells us who puts the bill for the Eretz Beisdin. The Sanhedrin will say that Eretz Beisdin is footed by the end of the Machta Shekel, whatever money was left over from the tzorchi, from the tzibur money. So the Gemara says that you can use that money for other tzorchi tzibur. That's where the Beisdin got paid from. That if that was true, we don't know whether that was true or not. Sanhedrin is guessing that was true. If that was true, that would leave us in a little bit of a bind. Bizman Hazeh, who's going to pay the Eretz Beisdin? Bizman Hazeh. So the suggestion was given that who's going to pay the Eretz Beisdin? So we'll come up with the following interesting idea. So, who should we hire? Who should Beisdin get to go watch the Yisroelim? Who should Beisdin get to go take care of the trees? Wow. So, Beisdin doesn't know anything about growing Yisroelim, so they're not going to send Ravonim with long beard to go long white beards and long coats to go stand and take care of the tree. Hey, what do we know what to do? So the people who are best equipped to take care of the payers are the farmers themselves. And guess what? Look, the farmers happen to be out of job this year. So the farmers have nothing to do anyway, and we need them to do it. We need somebody to do it, and they're the best trained to do this. So they become now employees of the Beisdin. So that's exactly what happens. The Beisdin now hires the farmers and pays the farmers for their work, pays the farmers for their labor. And it's like, I was in Krav Maimon last year, so I met one of the Esrog farmers, his name was Yaakov. So Yaakov is a frum fellow. He's getting to show us that he's got a lot of work to do. Showing how you're allowed to move the branches this way, not allowed to move the branches that way, allowed to do this, allowed to water here, there. He's showing me all those things that the Beisdin instructed him. They gave him the directions to what he's allowed to do, what he's not allowed to do. They come and they check up on him. So he said that, but it takes him a few hours to do all this stuff every day. So besides when he's running tours for the Americans. So he said that he's got to get paid. So he gets paid to do as the employee of the Beisdin, but he does not get paid for the Yisroelim, and then the Yisroelim are taken by Beisdin when it comes time to, they send their shlichim in, i.e. the farmer and other people, they send them in, and they distribute the Yisroelim. So we're still stuck with a problem. Who foots the bill for all this? So the answer is, now these Yisroelim have been taken from Kfar Maimon, and now they're sitting in Bnei Brak. So who should foot the bill for the farmer? So the answer makes a lot of sense that the guy who gets the Esrog should be the one to foot the bill. That makes sense. So the guy got an Esrog, it means he's paying. He's not paying for the Esrog. He's not buying the Esrog. The Esrog is Efker. What he's buying is, not buying, what he's doing is that he's paying the Beisdin, who is forwarding the expenses to the farmer for the distribution, for the taking care of the Esrogim, etc. That's what's supposed to happen in the perfect place of Beisdin, that the money is being paid by the eventual customers, but it's not going to the Perish Shvias. It's that the Shvias don't have a price to them. It's going for all the labor and everything. Of course, this idea should be reflected in the price. That means the price should be less than it is on a regular year. Because in a regular year, you're paying for the fruit, and you're paying for the labor. So this year, you're only paying for the labor, you're not paying for the fruit. So l'chora, that's what should happen. So whether or not that actually happens or not is a different story. I can't take responsibility for that. But that's in theory what's happening now.
Now, under Elzer based on the Fina Lacha, do you have to pay? Are the food free now still, or do you still have to pay for labor to get it?
No, Bezos is not going to give it to you. Bezos is not going to let you take it unless you pay for the labor.
So now there is a now this. Fruit
yeah, but you're not
free now has a different.
I mean, you wonder what would that look like if a guy walks into the Beisdin and takes it out himself and doesn't pay for it? Is that a neighbor? I don't know. I'm not sure. So this is what's supposed to happen. If this is in fact what's happening, then there's no problem with Rabbi Shulman, there's no problem with Neva, nothing was violated. So it's Hetter Gomer, Lechatchila. However, even though this is what's generally practiced with Zman Hazeh, there are still some issues that come up in terms of Perishvias. The Mishnah of Masechet Sukkah has a whole discussion about if you buy a fruit of Shvias, so then you have to be concerned with a few things. You have to be concerned with the Kedushas HaDomim, the Lachat the Perishvias has Kedusha to it, and has to be eaten in a certain way, it has to be eaten at a certain time, and anything that you trade for this fruit also becomes Kedush for the Kedusha Shvias. So if I give you $50, you give me an Esrog, so then that, the Esrog still remains B'Kedusha. So, but the money becomes tofes to Kedusha Shvias, and then you would have to use that money to buy other fruit and eat that fruit in the status of Kedusha Shvias. So the Mishnah has raised the following question. If a person buys an esrog from somebody, let's say the person I buy from the esrog from is not that knowledgeable, not that observant, so lekeach esrog b'shvias may have an aretz. So the Mishnah says you have a problem, because if you're going to give the aretz the money for the esrog, let's say he found an esrog somewhere, and he wants, so it wasn't a shalom b'shul, he's got his own esrog, he got an esrog, and now he wants to sell it to me. So he's allowed to do that. In theory, he's allowed to do that. The only problem is that when I pay $50 for that esrog, that money now is Kedusha Shvias, and the Amoris doesn't know what to do with it. He's going to take it and use it on other things. So that's the problem. So there's a din that I'm not allowed to hand to May Shvias to an Amoris. I'm not allowed to give somebody money that has Kedusha Shvias to it. It's going to get Kedusha Shvias to it.
Why he is allowed to do it?
Well, he's allowed. No, he's allowed to sell to me. So Taisus points out that it's not an issue of Schora. Normally you're not allowed to sell Perish Shvias to stuff. It's an issue of Achuvo Schora. So Taisus points out that the Achuvo Schora only applies when you're really in the business, when you have a lot of stuff you're buying and selling. Here he's got one Esrog. He found an Esrog somewhere, now he wants to sell me $50. That's not called Schora. So the Mishnah says, the Gemara explains, there's a more serious, a secondary problem of a Mosrim Demei Shvias Yama Aretz. So how do you get around this problem? So the Gemara says, well, because there's two different Eitzahs. So one place the Gemara says an Eitzah is that you, that rather than paying for the Esrog, you pay for the Lulav. So you're buying a Lulav and an Esrog from him. So if you're buying a Lulav from him also, so instead of paying, normally you pay $80 for the Esrog and $20 for the Lulav, whatever it is, for the Esrog, give me $100 for the Lulav and you give me the Esrog. The Lulav doesn't have Kedusha Shvias, so it's a pashtus. The Lulav doesn't have Kedusha Shvias. Most people assume because it's just some wood. And wood doesn't have Kedusha Shvias to it. So it's just a branch. It's a regular branch. Doesn't have Kedusha Shvias. So here I'm gonna sell you the Lulav and Esrog. I'm not really selling you the Esrog. I'm giving you the Esrog for Matana, and I'm being Mavliya the Dmei Esrog for Socha Lulav. I'm giving you a higher price for the Lulav. That's one Eitzah. The Mishnah says another Eitzah. The Gemara says in somewhere else. And about Azara, the Gemara says,
question of charging more than a sixth.
No, but everyone's Michael. As long as I'm Michael on it, I don't mind. So comes the Gemara, gives another race. So what if you don't pay Bishas Maisa? You don't pay for the Esrog right now. You buy it by Hakafa. You buy it on credit. If you buy it on credit, then the money's not here to be nitpas in the Kedusha. So then when I give you the money, it's a week later. So that's not a problem. That money is not misyachet for the perishvias. That's what the Gemara says. Okay. So there are different opinions. Some Rishonim will say that means Hakamaisin, you ate the fruit already. The fruit's not here anymore, and then it's not misyachet. Others say no. Even if the fruit is here, as long as it wasn't mamizetach hazeh, at the same time, it's not called the
perishvias. On credit, it's not shalchah.
Oh, that's a different question. That's a different question. If you pay on credit, so then maybe it's a chitar of shalchah, or shalachem. It's not the end of the world. You can get around that. I mean, the guy is giving to you matana. He is makna to you. You make your kiddin mashicha on it. You make your kiddin agvon. You make your kiddin chotzer on it. You bring it to your house. You kiddin yad. You kiddin kli. Whatever. You figure out an eitzah that it becomes yours anyway, even though you didn't technically pay for it.
Well, why would you pay for Sunam Aris, the money for the food? Why can't you say his gas or his, traveling by train, whatever he's getting?
No, so the Mishnah is describing that the money that's being given is being given for the fruit itself. Uh-huh. That's where the Mishnah description is. There was no sabbath.
If you have intent that the Amaris doesn't, let's say you give the Amaris or even a Socha, you give
right.
And you say this is...
So that's why Bizman Azeh, this Gemara is not that much of a problem, because Bizman Azeh, you're using an Isabazin, so you're not paying for the fruit.
Even without Isabazin, if you reimburse an individual, for his expenses.
Right. So that's like havla. That means instead of paying extra for the lulav, I'm paying for the other expenses of the esrog.
Does the person who's selling or giving it to you have to have kamana? Only you.
Yeah, that's probably kedai to tell him also. Otherwise, a little bit of a.
Now, Maris, you're talking about a case the person won't know or doesn't care.
Yes, it's probably kedai to say it to him. Kedai should start out there. So Bizman Azed, you're buying it out to based in Esrog, so it's not really that critical, the second half of the halacha, because you don't really have to be mavliyeh, you don't have to buy on credit, because you're not paying for the Esrog anyway. You're only paying for the expenses. Unless you're concerned, a guy is a little bit concerned that, this whole is a based in, as we said, the price should really reflect the fact that this is a based in, doesn't necessarily do so. So a guy is a little bit nervous. On the one hand, he wants to buy it's a basin in Esrog. On the other hand, he's not 100% convinced that the basin is really being done properly. So he doesn't want to get involved in it. Didn't because of Shvi, so he wants to follow the eights of the Mishnah also. Even his mother said he wants to do these eights. But again, the Ikra didn't. The basin is done properly. So then it's understood that the money is going towards the basin expenses.
Some people are mocked at talking Yerushalayim that when they go into a restaurant that has a good hashgacha, but they're afraid that maybe some of the food they're eating is perish fierce. So they'll all adopt and not use cash.
Right, they're all right. They'll give exact right. So there are some more machbid, the whole discussion about, if you go into a store and there's a shul that's selling pair of shviyas, so when you get change, so some of that change may have to do shviyas to it. So it may be lots of barabbas, shallows about that. So there are some more machbid that they'll only pay either with credit card, or they'll pay,
exact change.
Well, they give exact change. It's only got to keep the change, I don't want any change. There, if I'm not mistaken, there's a supermarket, I think in Mitzvah, if I'm not mistaken, which I think does sell some perishable stuff, which is whatever it is, but they wanted to make the store open to people, to everyone, that which feels this chashash. So what they did is that when you buy it, so when it prints out your receipt, so anything that's fruits and vegetables, anything, so it's given zero. There's no price for it. They don't charge you the mavliya. It means the price is mamish printed out on the receipt that if you go into a store and you buy a bag of apples and a container of milk, they'll charge you 20 shekel for the milk and they'll charge you zero to give you the apples as a present. Mamish mavliya, so it shouldn't be any chashash of
that. You have to buy milk
too. Right, you can't just go into the store and buy, if you go into the store and buy apples, they won't let you buy.
Is it Batul Barov?
That's the further question. Maybe it's Batul Barov. But Lamai said, they told me about the Super Bowl.
If it isn't, then the whole economy.
Right, that's right. I usually assume that it is.
The problem with taking change is that the change itself becomes...
If somebody bought apples 5 minutes before, and they gave money, so then that money, those five shekels sitting in the cash register are kedusha shviyas.
Oh, I see. He's afraid that what he gave you...
Right, and he gave you kedusha shviyas money, right? Okay, good. So we should buy a nice, beautiful esrog, and let me get to the Sunday.
What's the shiur
going to
be on Sunday?
Sunday, I don't know.
You don't know yet. Not kedusha shviyas.
I think that we finished next
Friday. Next Friday, so...
Next Friday, come on. Okay, then I'll get to the...